Restless? You restless this morning? How's your soul? Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning, God, and we ask, O Lord, that we will truly desire to discover who we are this morning. Father, many of us are walking around with a facade, pretending we're somebody that we're really not. Lord, I ask, O God, that you will convict our hearts, allow us to discover how we need to be refined and how we can more wholeheartedly follow after you. God, may your Spirit be poured out upon us this morning. In the name, in the power, in the authority of Jesus Christ, we say these things. Amen. This morning, we are starting a new series. As you can see, Soul Detox. And Soul Detox, you may be saying, what is this guy talking about? Soul Detox. We often in our American society talk about body detox. Detoxing our body and purifying our body and allowing our body to be cleansed and clean. And we don't often talk about our soul. Do you know that you and I, we are not a body with a soul, but instead, we are a soul with a body. We're not a body with a soul, we're a soul with a body. Because you know what happens to our bodies, in case you're not old enough yet? It begins to break down. Would you agree with that, some of you? I mean, I'm saying it. Yeah, I feel it. Oh, buddy. You all right? Some of us are sitting there going, my back hurts, my knee hurts, my calf hurts, my left foot, I don't even know what happened to my finger. My eyeball, is it falling out? Wait, push it back, right? We have a lot of different things going on with our bodies because our bodies are deteriorating. We'll get into that in a little while. In Genesis 2:7, there's a powerful passage that often gets overlooked. And if you know anything about the book of Genesis, it talks about creation and what happens at creation, and the Spirit hovered over the water, and all these amazing things took place during creation, and there were 7 days and seven nights. I mean, well there's 6 days of creation, and then on the seventh day, God rested. And whether you believe that it's literal 7 days or 1,000 years, days equals 1,000 years or whatever you believe in that context. I want to share this with you, that this passage that's often overlooked, if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to Genesis. I'm going to show it to you, but you may want to actually read it for yourself. And Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says this: Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. He took the dust of the ground, the clay, and made it into a body. That was the outer covering. Ready? Are you ready for this? That was the outer covering of the soul. See, it was a body. It's the exterior. It's the outer covering. And he, what? And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did that man become? Yeah. Say that again. And let's read that last part. And the man became a living soul. Ready? Ready? And the man became a living soul. He became a living soul. It wasn't he became a body. He became a living soul. He was a soul. He became a soul man. No. Right? But he became a soul man. He became soul. He wasn't just a body. And so often we forget that we're not just a body, that we are a soul. First and foremost. I wonder wonder what would happen if we actually began to realize in our mind and in our heart that we're not just a body. Even though we feel the pains and the hurts of this life, and we feel the anguish and the strife of this life, that, you know what? There's much more to it than just this. There's so much more. That we are soul. That we are eternal beings. No wow. Wow. There's another passage in Genesis. I'm going to flip over a few pages. Genesis chapter 4, 11 through 12. And it says this: "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground." You hear that? If you know anything about this, this is Cain and Abel. And what ends up happening, does anybody know with Cain and Abel? Somebody tell me. Cain murdered Abel. And what ended up happening is God cursed who? Who murdered who? Cain murdered Abel. So God cursed Cain. "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground." You're driven from the ground. And then it says, "which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Okay, you killed your brother, and here's the punishment. Basic summary. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. And what will you be? What will you be? Everybody, let's say this last part out loud. You will be a restless wanderer of the earth. You will be a restless wanderer of the earth. Our souls are restless. Many of us are restless wanderers of the earth. If we don't know who God is, if we haven't really discovered God deeply and profoundly in our lives, we are restlessly wandering, and we're trying to figure out what things are about. And some of us that are following God are beginning to be restless because we've strayed. And we've fallen away. A restless wanderer. So many of us have restless souls. Ecclesiastes, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, but if you haven't read that book, I actually have a friend that had never read the Bible in his life, and someone gave him a Bible, and he had it for years, and he flipped open the Bible one day. He was going to this college out at University of Colorado, and he opened up his Bible to Ecclesiastes, never opening the Bible in his life, and he begins to read. And Ecclesiastes led him to Jesus. Yeah, some of you that read it go, "What? How is that possible? Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless." Right? But there's a whole heck of a lot in there. All over the Bible. And we don't give the Bible credit for being the Bible. And how powerful and profound and how convicting and how the Spirit works and moves in profound, powerful ways that can ignite us to be more than we are right now. So I want to share this passage from Ecclesiastes 2, 22 through 23. "What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun?" You hear that? Some of us are struggling and we're anxious under the sun. We've got a lot on our plate. We're wrestling through a lot. What happens? Well, all his days, his work is pain and grief, even at night. And some of us at night, and I know sometimes I have trouble with this, but it says, even at night, his mind does not rest. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have trouble like getting to rest. Maybe you have trouble resting, period. Maybe during the day you have trouble resting because you're always thinking, you're always processing, you're always trying to see, what do I need to pursue next? What is my ultimate goal? Or you're just sitting there going, what's going on with my life? What's happening here? I don't get it. Or maybe you're going, all right, I have this, and do. I got to do that tomorrow, this tomorrow, that tomorrow. Or maybe you're retired and you're like, man, this is great. I can go to the beach tomorrow. I can, you know, whatever it may be. You're thinking about your day tomorrow or whatever it may be. But maybe you're restless. Or maybe you just have so much on your plate, so much on the platter that you're just thinking, I don't know what to do with all this. It's just too much. Have we discovered rest? Have we discovered rest? Our souls find rest in God, in God alone. That's where our souls find rest, in God and God alone. And I know maybe there's a few in here that are going, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know what this rest in God and God alone is. Because we're trying to find rest in everything else besides God. And we're trying to discover where I can find rest. We're trying to go on vacation to find rest. And we're trying to go to bed and find rest. And we're trying to watch TV to find rest. And we're trying to do this and that and this and that to find rest. But it can't be found in earthly things. It can't be found in the things of this world. The rest can't be found. The only way we can truly find profound rest is in God and God alone. How do we find rest? In God. Be still before God. Be still before God. My soul finds rest. Psalm 62:1 says, my soul finds rest. Now, where does the soul find rest? In God alone, the passage says. My salvation comes from Him. Wow, that's beautiful to me. Because I realize it's not about me and what I do and how I work and my work ethic. It's not about that. And believe me, I come from a background of very strong work ethic. I learned it from my grandparents and my mother. And I watched these people work their tushes off and achieve great things in their lives because they worked so stinking hard. And my grandfather was a product of the Depression. And He tells me stories still to this day that I've heard ever since I was a little kid. And now my children are hearing those stories. And I will tell you, my grandfather helped me. I grew up without a dad, but my grandfather helped me tremendously in understanding what it meant to be a provider for his family. And I learned from him what that looks like, the work ethic. And so I have difficulty, and some of you may fall into this, may have difficulty resting. Anyone like that here? It's hard to just chill out and relax. I always got to be doing something. I always got to be working. What do I need to do now? What do I need to do? Oh, I can go do this. And you know what? A lot of the stuff I do, it helps people. Like, I'm at my house and I'm like, man, that lady shouldn't be mowing her lawn. I'm going to go help her. That person shouldn't be shoveling. Let me go shovel. And I'm not resting. I'm just keep going. And I'm doing good things. But God's saying, what about me? But God, when I'm shoveling, I'm praying to you, and I'm listening to good music. But wait. Rest. Rest. What are you doing to yourself? And maybe God's calling out to you today. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. And then we're going to the New Testament and we find in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Did you hear me? All you who are weary and burdened. All you who are weary and burdened. And what does it say? I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. What will you find? What will I find? What will we find? You will find rest. I will find rest. For what? What do you think it is? For your souls. We read it, but do we believe it? Do we trust it? Do we follow it? Do we adhere to the scriptures? Many of us are restless. We don't want to admit it, but it's true. Be still before God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is who He says He is. And how do we do that? I know many of us are going, well, I have too much going on. I don't have time to be still and know that He is God. I have 8 kids and 25 things to do. Some of us have 4 kids and newly born kids. And the household is crazy. And there's things going on all over the place. And there's havoc everywhere. And there's things there. And I got to pick that up. I got to pick that up. Ah, what do I do? That kid's running over there and trying to climb the tree. And he's going to fall out of the tree. And right? Some of us have kids. Some of us have never had kids. But our lives are still crazy. And we're going, what can I do? Oh, I got to do that, this. Oh, I got to go do that over here and this. And then I'm running in all day. And then I went through my whole day. What happened? Well, at the end of the day, I didn't spend any time with God. I didn't commit this day to God. I didn't start off my morning with God. Some of you are night owls. You're hooting right now. Because you're like, man, I got to go back to sleep. I'm tired. This is too early for me. Others of you are such morning people. You get up and you go, hello, everybody. Here I am. See me. Woohoo. And you're wide awake. You know what kind of person you are. Discover God in that moment. In the morning when I rise, what do? There's a couple psalms that are fantastic for when you wake up, and then another psalm for the going to bed. I'm going to challenge you to find those psalms. They're in the first 10 psalms. Guess what you get to do? Read the 10 psalms and you'll find them. First 10 psalms. But there are some great passages that we can read every morning when we rise and in the evening when we settle down, and they can get us straight. But how do we find rest? 5 minutes. I'm going to challenge you. 5 minutes. 5 minutes to be still before God. And I'm not talking about sit there for 20 seconds and go, okay, God, I'm bored. What do I do now? I have this, and then start thinking of all the things you have to do, because that can happen. We need to start internalizing and memorizing Scripture. This is a very easy one to memorize and internalize. Be still and know that I am God. Can everybody say that?
Be still and know that I am God.
What? Be still and know that I am God. Yeah. There's a second way that we can find rest in God. Just to wait for Him. Just wait. So we got to be still. We got to wait. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 37:7. Have you ever done this? Have you ever sat still before God and waited patiently? It has been hugely, hugely neglected in our North American church. We are an absolute disaster when it comes to this. It is so hard to be still in this multi-sensory, multitasking society that we live. Because I can read the Bible and I can do the dishes and I, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the Bible on my phone while I drive my car, and that will be my devotion for the day. I'll tell you, I do have the Bible on my phone, and I listen to it when I drive. I also have sermons I listen to when I drive. But I want to tell you this, that we need to be still before God and listen for that soft, still voice. There's many of us walking around that claim to be followers of Jesus, and we're not connected. We are so stinking disconnected that we've created our own Jesus. Some of us don't want to believe that. If we begin to really read about the God of this amazing, incredible, fantastic, awesome book called the what?
Bible.
Called the Bible? La Biblia? I won't go into all the different languages I can say the Bible in, but I'll stop there. But if we really get into this and we get still before God and we meditate on the scriptures, I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. We're like, all right, crossing our legs and things. And maybe you've been into real deep yoga and you see the Buddha and you're like, you know, you got this big Buddha somewhere in your house. I don't know. If you do, if you have a big Buddha, if you have something that's a false god in your house, you know what the scriptures say? And you may have it just as an ornament or something. I've been in people that have been followers of Christ for like 35 years. And right in the middle, I've been in Hindus' homes, okay? I've been in Muslims' homes. I've been in all sorts of people's homes. We have friends that are Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, you name atheists, agnostics, pantheists, you name it. We've been in homes and we've seen things that maybe some of you haven't seen. If you ever go into someone that practices Buddhism, they have a shrine to the different gods and the different Buddhists. And I'll never forget when my children went into one of the homes and they saw this shrine and they said, "Daddy, Daddy, what is that? What is that, Daddy? I don't understand. What do they have there? Why do they have all those little idols on the..." They didn't say idols, they said those little statues. Want to talk about a teaching moment? That's a teaching moment. And I was able to actually show my children. They saw. And I explained to them that they get down and they kneel before those statues and they believe that they are a deity and they can help them in their lives. And you want to know what my kids said? They said this. They said, "Daddy, that doesn't make any sense." And I said, "Hallelujah, God." Yeah. And because I also want to share this, that my children, I have never pushed them to believe something. Like say, "You have to believe this. You have to." I've let them come under the conviction of the Spirit on their own. And they have. And I told you one time that Troy really wrestled with it. Kelsey was like, "I'm on board. Let's do this." And I remember when she came to faith, when we were on vacation up in Vermont, someone let us stay in one of their homes. And we were reading through the book of Acts at that time. And she came to faith, and it was profound and meaningful. And she still remembers that day, and I do, and Stacy does, and Troy can remember it. But Troy took a little while longer than Kelsey. And Troy wrestled. And he's a young boy. He's 8 years old, but he's a thinker. Kelsey's a deep thinker, too. But Troy, I shared with you that one day he was crying at the dining room table. And he was shedding tears saying, "Daddy, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know, Daddy. I don't think I do. I want to, but I don't think I do. Daddy, I don't know what I believe." And I said, "Troy, we need to pray. We need to seek God. And you need to ask God. Just say, 'God, reveal yourself to me.'" And he said, "Daddy, what does reveal mean?" And I said, "Troy, it means ask God to show up. When you go to bed at night, you know when we get together and pray before you go to sleep, when mommy prays with you and we pray together? Ask God to show up." "What do you mean? Like I'll see him?" And I said, "Troy, you may not see God, but you'll sense him. You'll sense his presence. And my seven-year-old boy at the time, actually just turned eight, he sought God that night. Said, "Daddy, I didn't say nothing. There's nothing. I don't know, Daddy." And for the next couple weeks, he was committed. He wanted to figure out, is God going to show up? Is God going to show up? Sorry. God showed up for Troy. And he showed up for Kelsey. Troy said to me last week, he said, "Daddy, I'm ready to be baptized." You don't know what that did to me as a dad. Because when Kelsey was getting baptized a few months ago, we're driving in the car and I said, "Troy, do you think you're ready to be baptized?" He said, "No." Like that. He said, "No." And I go, "Why?" He said, "Dad, I don't know if I believe yet." And I said, "But Troy, you've heard the message." And I was like, and Stacy punched me. She was driving, and she actually punched me. She goes, "Boom!" And I go, "I guess that's from the Spirit. I'm going to shut up." She whispered to me, because she turned the music up loud, and she goes, "You need to let him discover God on his own." And I said, "Dang it, man, you're right. You're so right, Stacy." And when he did, it was profound, because it was God revealing himself to him. Man, God is powerful. If you don't think God is real, man, does he show up? Ask him to, and he will. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 130, 5 through 6. I wait for the Lord. And I love this because I wait for the Lord. I wait. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. And in his word, in his living word, I put my hope. I put it there. The scriptures say, I put it there. I put my living hope in the Lord. That's where it is. That's where it is. It's in the Lord. Say it again with me. My what? My what? My soul. Say it. My
soul.
My soul. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waiting for the morning. May my soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. Lord, my soul waits for the Lord. And in his word, in his living word, I put my hope. I put it there. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Ready? Let's finish with this. Help me out. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. Whenever you see a word apparent in Scripture multiple times in a short period of time, pay careful attention to that passage and the meaning of the word, because it has significant impact in the context of the understanding of the word. And what the passage is talking about. When you see soul, 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 you better say, why is it talking about soul? Why is soul in this text? Why? Well, because it's very, very important. Very important. Very important to us as people. The third thing. I'm going a little long, aren't I? You all right with me? Don't I say this every week? I'm laughing, some of you crying. Hang with me. Just take a moment and reflect on God's goodness. How about that? Reflect on God's goodness. Reflect on His goodness. How often do we reflect on His goodness? A lot of times, what we do is, when we go to the Lord in prayer, what we do is, God, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Like He's our cosmic sugar daddy. Hey, cosmic sugar daddy, can you give me this, this, and this, 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 this? When in reality, we need to be saying, Father God, Father God, You are so good. You are so amazing. You are so profound. You are so mighty. You are awesome. Wow. Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For You, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 116, 7 through 9. How many of you want to be able to say that? We can, if we believe and follow after Christ. We can. We can. We can cry out to God and we can say, yes, Lord, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, Lord. There's so much to be said about our restless souls. There's so much. But I want you, if you remember absolutely nothing else from this message, be strong and take heart and wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He's going to show up. He's going to allow us to deal with our restlessness. He's going to allow us to truly be refined and transformed and become the beautiful pot of clay that we're meant to be. Do you know you've been created to be beautiful, amazing, incredible? Did you know that? Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Did you know that the God that knit you together in your mother's womb, that there is such profound, incredible love for you, that He wants what's best for you and me, that He wants us to discover Him deeply and profoundly because He's our Abba, which means daddy. He's our daddy, and He's not an earthly daddy that fails us. He's a heavenly Father that will never leave us, never forsake us. We have restless souls, but man, this God is a God that takes us and embraces us and says, you who are weak and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many different things that You're doing in some of us right now, God. Lord, it's so hard to be still. It's so hard to reflect on You because we get consumed by so much in this life. But oh Lord, many of us have such restless souls. I ask, O Lord, that You will allow us to discover You deeply and profoundly even this morning, Lord. Allow Your Spirit to fall upon us where we sit and stand. And God, allow us to discover You, the Spirit of fire that comes and eradicates the wickedness, Lord. Lord, so many of us have sin issues that we're hiding. God, I ask that you would convict our hearts, allow us to repent and follow after you. Lord, eradicate whatever you need to eradicate so we can be full-fledged followers of you. May we surrender to you and follow you and become people that live by your truth and by your word. And may we truly discover what it means to be saved and healed and renewed and restored. And Lord God, may we discover what it means to be a new creation and to have the old gone and the new come. Lord, restore us this day. Empower us this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.